Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful for this opportunity to be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And I certainly pray this week also that each one of you have a happy Thanksgiving. Remember who you're thankful to. You know, if you're just thankful, well, who are you thankful to? What are you thankful for? For those of us as God's people, we have a lot to be thankful for, especially for the salvation through Jesus Christ. And we certainly pray that the message today could be a blessing. And before we begin to preach it, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, we can say with all certainty that you've been far better to us than we deserve. Father, we don't deserve your salvation. We don't deserve your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. All that you've shown to us, Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that the lost would see that, that they would see the mercy you've shown to them and the opportunity to be saved through Christ. Father, we pray for those of us who are saved that we'd not take for granted the gift of salvation that you've given to us, but Father, that we would use that salvation to live in newness of life and be the light in this world that you would have us to be. Help us to stand, Father, with the message today. Give us the grace and strength that we need. Help us to stand by the aid of your Holy Spirit to accomplish your will. And Father, we pray for the lost, that their eyes would be open to the truth in Christ, and for those of us that are saved, that we could truly walk in a way that would be pleasing and honorable in your sight, and that, Father, others could even see the good works that we do and glorify you that are in heaven. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Now, you're going to see a lot in this chapter about the family of God. When I go to church, it's just my practice, and even outside of church, if I see somebody, I like to call them brother or sister. If they are saved, if they're my brother or sister in Christ, that's the way that I try to refer to them. I don't make 100 at that, but that's our goal, and I'm doing that for twofold. One, to show them the respect I have for them as my brother or sister in Christ, and two, it's to remind myself who they are to me, that we are commonly bound by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got something binding us stronger than natural blood, being the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see some of this in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that I pray it could be a blessing as we read over these things and see the love and also the compassion and what we're supposed to do as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 1, rebuke not an elder. You know, and he's talking here not just of a minister, but certainly that would be covered there. But he's talking about those that are older in the church, not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. I notice the way that he tells him. He says, these older ones in the church, these older men, you treat them like you would treat a father. You show them the same respect that you would show your father. I've always tried to do this. I know there's times where you might have to make a decision of whether honoring a man because of his age or standing against him because he's standing against the Word of God. Those are tough situations to deal with. But I've always tried to respect the older people in the church. I've always looked at them as people I could learn from. You know, I've been blessed in my lifetime that when I was just a boy, there was still some World War I veterans alive in church. And got to see a lot of World War II veterans. Some I didn't know were World War II veterans till they died. I can remember even going to a funeral and asking my dad why they had a flag on one man's casket. And he said, son, he served in World War II. And I just didn't know it. I was young. I was probably 8 or 9 years old at the time, and I just didn't know it. And so you know, there's a lot that they've experienced growing up there in the Great Depression, seeing the times when, you know, people, you know, families didn't have cars or trucks, and seeing the times when electricity came in some places. And remembering those experiences, and you know, remembering how poor people used to be, and how important it was to just get one pair of shoes a year and one coat or one new set of clothes a year and all the struggles that they went through. And now seeing all the blessings we have in modern day times, there's just a lot that you can learn from those people. And of course, in any time period, you've got people that have just had more life experience. They've gone through marriage longer than you have. They've seen all the lies and they've seen all the betrayals of the world. And if they're spiritual, there's just a lot that you can learn from them. That they've learned spiritually from these things and they've grown from these things. And so it's wise for the younger people to listen. You know, the Bible teaches about go unto the elders and learn from them. You know, and it's bothered me at some churches. They're like, well, these old ones won't be around any much longer. And some churches have even made statements like, well, they don't need to vote on some of these issues because it won't affect them. Well, they're the more knowledgeable ones. They're the ones with more experience. And I don't care if you're 60 years old, an 80-year-old has more experience than you do. If you're 80 years old, if there's a 90 or 100-year-old person in the church, they have more experience than you. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. And you need to listen to them. Doesn't mean you're always going to agree, but you need to show them that respect and actually truly open your ears and listen. We're dealing with a time period now where there's fewer and fewer people that are willing to listen to people that have more experience than them. I often tell younger people, and I've told it where I pastor, and I tell them all the time, I said, if you get to meet somebody who's going through this, I said, you need to sometimes sit down with some of these older people because they're not going to be around forever. And there's so much that they can teach you. The younger women are to be taught by the older women of the church. And they can teach them so much about marriage. And they can teach them so much about raising children if they're willing to listen. But if we don't have the ears to listen, and we're not willing to close our mouth long enough to let somebody teach us something, well, we're going to lose a lot. And I'll say this, churches have lost a lot. Even in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of wisdom disappearing. We've lost some of our older preachers in the work that I'm a part of. In the group of Baptists that I'm affiliated with, I've seen a lot of our older preachers die and go on to be with the Lord. And I'm already seeing their wisdom, their spirituality, their knowledge, that you can see it fading out of churches. Because the younger ministers, a lot of times, have not learned from them and are not preaching the doctrines and things that they taught. And you can see the damage that it's doing to the churches. And so we need to take the time to learn and listen. I've even encouraged churches on different times. And I'm not the authority of a church. A lot of times people think, well, you're the preacher, you can make them do anything. No, that's not my place. I'm not a lord over God's heritage. I'm to be an ensample to the flock. And sometimes I've made mention at churches, as much as I like giving the younger people an opportunity. In fact, we had a young minister that hasn't even been preaching a year yet that came this past Tuesday night and preached for us. And we try to give ministers that opportunity. Because I know the only way they're going to gain experience is, like we talked last week, they got to practice. They've got to have opportunities to preach. That's the only way they're going to grow and gain experience. And so we want to give them that opportunity, and I believe in that, especially when they're young and faithful unto the Lord. We need to encourage them in that faithfulness. I believe that. But at the same time, I've told churches, there's sometimes you can ask for a Bible study. I said there's older ministers that have studied on certain subjects and devoted 20, 30, 40, 50 years to some subjects that they've studied on over the years. And I said it's good for the churches occasionally to gain that knowledge, to let them share with them and have Bible studies. And sometimes even ask them, is there a certain subject that you've studied upon? Is there something you can know? I've met some preachers that have studied maps and they can go into depths of maps. I've known some that have studied things of Genesis and they can go in depth with some things in Genesis. I've known some that have studied things like the temple and the tabernacle, and they can relate that to the New Testament church better than some of the younger ministers. And that gives an opportunity for the younger ministers to learn from their study, to gain that knowledge. And so you want to do that. And if we treat them with the respect that they deserve as a father, you're giving them that respect. Say, man, there's so much I can learn from you. He said, and the younger men as brethren. I need to treat the younger people in the church, man, that's my brother. And if I love them like that, and I don't care if you treat them as an older brother, you have a certain amount of respect for that, that you want to learn a little bit from them and say, well, you got a few more years on me. Is there some advice you can give me? Sometimes you want to learn from that older brother. Sometimes, you know, if you got younger brethren, well, you want to encourage them. Man, you want them to grow up. Man, you want them to be strong. You want to be faithful. And so you encourage them that way. You love them. He said the elder women as mothers. And sometimes you get old enough, you treat them like your own grandmother. I've had some ladies in churches that have treated me like one of their children. I've had ladies in churches that treated me like one of their grandchildren. And you know, just that respect that you give unto them. I've had great respect for both of my grandparents, and I try to show that respect to the older ones in the church. I have great respect for my mother, and I've tried to show that respect to the older women in the church. He said, the younger as sisters, with all purity. That all purity covers a whole lot, and I'm not going to just delve into that subject for an extended period of time. But you know, I should care for the other women in the church like I would care for my sister. Now, I don't have a natural sister. All I've got is one brother, as far as naturally speaking. And even on my granny's side of the family, she had, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, she had 10 grandchildren, and all were boys. So you can understand my feelings there. I do have a daughter, though. And, you know, I've always thought about, you know, as a father, you all always want your daughter, you know, to have a good life. You kind of you're protective over them. You know, you don't want just anybody coming around your daughter. I think I've seen that with older brothers, that they're kind of protective of their sisters. That they don't want people doing them harm. They don't want people mistreating them. They want people treating them with respect and dignity. And that's the way it should be in the church. And so we see that you treat them as sisters with all purity. Then he goes on to talking about widows. Now I will say this, at this time there was no Social Security. There was none of these other programs that we have today, and not going to get into the politics of all that, but the churches took care of one another. And that's the way it should be. I still believe that's the way it should be. And there's some things taught here that we need to learn from. It's Bible. It's biblical. And still relevant in many countries today, and I think in a lot of ways even here in America, there's some relevance and things that we need to pay attention to. But he said, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, he gets into widows indeed, which is important. God doesn't like us to, what's the right word to use here? He doesn't want us to enable sin. If people are living ungodly and they're living in a way that contradicts the Bible, we don't have a responsibility to them in the church. Doesn't mean we can't show kindness to them. Doesn't mean we can't show compassion to them. But when he's talking about the widows indeed, you don't waste God's resources. And so there are things set up that God set up that we need to follow. He said, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home. Your own family should be responsible for you before the church is. That's all he's saying. Family's got a responsibility to take care of family. And if she has children or nephews, they need to take care of her first. Let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, you know, repay them. Parents brought them up, and it's their responsibility to take care of their parents when they're older. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, meaning she has nobody to help her. There's no family. There's nobody able to take care of her like she should be taken care of. And notice this part. It's not just that she's desolate, but she trusteth in God. And continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. A faithful woman. Faithful in prayer, faithful in supplications, faithful in her service to God. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, the church is not responsible for taking care of widows that just want to go out and live in pleasure. You know, that's like giving a drunk another drink. Somebody that wastes money, you know, somebody went out and threw a pile of money, went in debt on some credit card, and they come to the church and say, "Oh, will you bail me out? I'm in such horrible situation," and they did that of their own accord. They're dead. They're not to be helped by the church in that case. Because then you're enabling people to live in sin, and God has never wanted to do that. If they're living in pleasure, the church should not support people living in sin. He said, "These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That is the only time the word infidel is used in the scripture. The only time. And it's talking about if a person won't take care of his own family. If a child won't take care of his mama, his daddy, if a parent won't take care of his own children, they've denied the faith, is what the scripture says. Again, we're not talking about somebody living in sin and the church trying to enable them or the family trying to enable them. We're talking about a person that they should be helping, they should be taking care of. And everybody has faults and failures. We're not dealing with that. We're talking about a person that's just willingly living against the ways of God. You know, if we don't take care of our own family, we deny the faith and we're worse than an infidel. He says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number," and he's talking about those to be supported by the church, helped by the church. He said, "Under 80 years old," that's 60 years old, "having been the wife of one man." She's been faithful. She hasn't, left this man and gone and got another man and all this other stuff. And of course, that means, you know, one living husband at a time is what he's talking about here, if you want to delve into it. You know, if she's lost a husband and remarried and then that man's died, that's a different subject. But he's talking about that the church is not responsible for taking care of somebody under the age of 60 years old. Well, why is that? Even at 60 years old, you're fairly healthy. You know, even a lot of women at 60 years old still have a lot, still have several years left, still have, you know, mobility. Some women even might still have some, that age hasn't just overtaken them. They might still have good looks and things of that nature. And what he's talking about here is, he says, "Well reported of for good works." You know, she's been faithful. She's got good works. She's lived for the Lord. She served the Lord. If she have brought up children. Now this isn't disqualifying people that can't have children. That's not what. But if she had children, did she raise them? Or did she just let them go anyway? Did she train up her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? If she had children. If somebody didn't have children, that's not a requirement that she had children. If she was able to have children, did she bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Did she have lodged strangers? Did she show kindness and charity to people? Lodging strangers was a big thing. They didn't have Motel 6s and Holiday Inns and all these other things everywhere like we do today. And even then, it's still nice when somebody actually opens up their home and says, "Listen, you can come stay with us." Years ago, you know, people would lodge strangers. Said, and all they're saying here is, did they act neighborly? Did they help people that were in need? People that were traveling through? If she have washed the saints' feet. Now, I'm a feet-washing Baptist. I am. I'm not ashamed of that. We wash feet. We do it after the Lord's Supper. Where I pastor, that's the normal way that we do it. Is to teach us that we're here to serve one another. And he said, you know, if she wasn't humble enough to wash the saints' feet to take part in this service, then she's disqualified from this. If she have relieved the afflicted, when she had money and when she had the opportunity, and it doesn't just mean money, but when she had maybe the food or the shelter, different things, did she help people in need when they needed it? Did you see a caring spirit? Did you see the love of Christ in her life? If she have diligently followed every good work, has she been faithful in doctrine? Faithful in the ways of the Lord? Again, this woman's desolate. She's been faithful in the life that she's had. She's over 60 years old now. And she needs help from the church to get by. Who's gonna help her? If you got people like that in the church, then you help them. But notice this, but the younger widows refuse. Why? For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. And what happens if you start giving people money and they're like, well, if I get married, I'll lose that money? They commit sins like fornication. If you don't know that, you might want to look up when we started the war on poverty here in America, what happened to the divorce rate and the children being born out of wedlock in this country. We've rewarded sin in this country. We have. In fact, sometimes the more children you have out of wedlock, the more money you're getting from the government. Bigger check you're getting. Does that help a situation or make it worse? Makes it worse, doesn't it? And that's what he's talking about here. He said, if you're giving people money while they're still young and then they're wanting, their bodies are still desiring people and they're still desiring a relationship, he said, you need to let them marry. You need to let them do some other work. You need the younger ones to take care of themselves. They're able to take care of themselves, feed themselves, and do some things. You need to let them do that. That's good. He said this is for those who are desolate, those who are really in need, those who are at an age or a condition that they can't help themselves. That's when the church becomes responsible to help them. He says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. In other words, they're putting their self before Christ. That's not what God wants them to do. And with on, they learn to be idle. Notice what happens. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying they're receiving this money from the church and they can just sit at home and do nothing when they're young. And what does that make them be? Idle. Not working, not doing, not being beneficial, not being productive in life. Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but what happens when they're wandering from house to house? And they just got money, but they don't have a job. They're not doing things. They're not productive. They don't have a family to take care of. Well, they like to have conversations. What are those conversations going to be about a lot of times? He said, but tattlers also and busybodies, getting in everybody else's business, speaking things which they ought not. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. See, God does not like to encourage sin. God doesn't like to do that. God doesn't like to let people be turned aside unto Satan. And part of the way that he does that is a person that's busy in life, actually has work to do, responsibilities to take care of, they're less meddling, tattling, backbiters, all these other things. And that's why I said the younger women, they need to marry, bear children. They need to be about their business. But when somebody gets to the age that they can't take care of themselves and they don't have anybody else to take care of them, then the church has a responsibility to take care of those people. But those who are able to take care of themselves should take care of themselves. Those that have families that can take care of them, their families should take care of them, not the church. And that's the lesson that he's teaching here, which teaches a lot of lessons about idleness, about receiving money when you're doing nothing, and when you're able to be working and should be working and you're not. There's a lot of lessons taught here that I pray that we take heed to. He said, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And he's saying, we don't need to let the church take care of responsibilities that families can take care of. Again, if that's your responsibility, you take care of it. That way, the church can actually help the people that are actually in need. There's a difference between somebody that doesn't want to work and somebody that's, you know, incapable of working. There's a difference between somebody who's actually in need and somebody who's just lazy. And that's what he's talking about here. Don't waste your time or money on people that are able to take care of themselves or have families to take care of them. The church is to have themselves set up to take care of those who are actually in need and who are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And that's the truth, isn't it? When you see people that are walking in the Lord, serving the Lord in their lives, they're worthy of double honor, aren't they? And that's whether it's a minister, that's whether where it's a man taking care of his house, a woman that is faithful in her family. You know, man, if they're walking honorably in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy of double honor. Do you know that God's not against praise when praise is earned? Now, I don't believe in just patting people on the back for no reason. Even a lot of times when it gets around Mother's Day or Father's Day, just because somebody brought a kid into this world doesn't make them a good daddy worthy to be praised, does it? I don't like days just to praise people because they had children at some point in time. I believe in people being praised because they've actually done some good work. Same way with mothers or children that are obedient to parents, or you've been successful at work or different things. If you've done the work to be praised, then you should be praised. But if you're just saying, praise me, honor me, serve me, when you've done nothing, God's not for that. But the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word, and here's that word again, and doctrine. In doctrine. They stayed in the truth. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now we'll probably finish with verse 18 for today. But to say this, I heard a man years ago, before I even started preaching, a man was talking about a preacher and what he was receiving in offering. And what it was is, he was kind of jealous of the amount of money he was receiving. And I was a teenager at the time, and I was kind of surprised that I actually spoke up. I was very timid at speaking up in that time, especially to those who were older than me, but it just kind of struck me. And I asked the man, I said, well, how much do you make? And he said, well, that has no bearing on this. And I said, so it's fine for you to make the amount that you make, but the preacher's not worthy of his offering. I said, your job probably pays for your insurance. I said, he pays his own medical insurance. I said, out of that, he pays his own taxes. How much is he making now? I said, besides that, I said, how much do you spend on gas per week? I said, he's going in every direction, checking on members, going to this hospital, that hospital, sometimes revival meetings, different places. Where are you going? How much are you spending on gas? And I tried to drive home the point, and I know we're running out of time, but if a man is faithful and doing the work of God, is he not worthy of the reward he receives for it? Why should that be muzzled? I pray that we would think about that and let that sink into us a little bit. And if you'd have anything upon your heart, our number is 601 606-4681. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it for your honor and glory, for the good that's accomplished. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.